Welcome back to the Mama This Thing Show. I'm Sharon Nordrum.
And I'm Shirley Nordrum. And sitting way over in the corner, we have Gabby Lara, and she may pipe in or may not. She's just chilling and watching. She's hanging out with me this summer. So we just wanted to have a show and thank you all for listening to us all year. And I'll tell you how much we enjoy it. I mean, it's really a lot of fun, and I really hope that you enjoy it as much as listening to it as much as we enjoy doing it.
I know. I really hope that people enjoy what we do. If you have any suggestions, you can always contact us on Facebook, too, and let us know if you know somebody that's pretty cool or you think is cool that you would like us to interview.
Or you want to be interviewed.
Or you want to be interviewed.
Don't be shy.
Yeah.
We're open to suggestions. We're on Facebook.
If you see us out in the community, stop us and say, hey.
I have had people stop and say, I was really, the funnest time I think of someone recognizing me as I was at Pine Point Powwow and I was ordering a fry bread or some kind of, I don't really eat fry bread, so what was I? I was probably
we had tacos in a bag that.
Taco in a bag, yep. Yeah. I love taco in a bag.
Yeah.
So I was ordering a taco in a bag and I was placing my order and the woman was putting ketchup on her whatever she was eating over there. And her head just, like, flew toward me. I kind of caught it out of the corner of my eye. So I looked over at her, and she goes, hey, you're that woman on the radio. I love that show. And she just started giving really positive feedback. And that was really fun. But it was just that she didn't know me, but she heard that voice. And
yeah.
So that was cool.
That is always cool.
I did want to tell all the listeners that past shows are now up on the Niji website. So if you go under programming, you'll see the current legacy shows. Mama This Thing is a legacy show. And then there's the archived legacy shows. So you can go back and listen to past shows. You know, we've interviewed a lot of cool people. For example, Delina White, founder of I Am Anishinaabe. And I did want to mention that this past May 31st through June 3rd, Delina was participating in Toronto's first annual Indigenous Fashion Week.
Wow.
Which is a really cool idea.
It is.
And so she
beautiful.
Beautiful work. So she had all her designs on the runway.
Yeah.
And I got to see a little clip of that on Facebook, so that looked really cool. But if you want to know more about Toronto's Indigenous Fashion Week, or some of the cool stuff that's going on in Canada around Indigenous people, you should check out muskratmagazine.com. There's some really cool stuff on there.
Muskrat Magazine?
Muskratmagazine.com.
Oh.
So
does David Manuel have anything to do with that? It's called Muskrat.
No. Unless he's a silent producer. I don't think he's involved in that at all, but it really is a good resource for what's going on or, you know, new cool things. You know, Canada has a lot more going on with the Indigenous nations around art, you know, film, all that kind of thing. And so when I was on Muskrat Magazine a while back, I found that BBC is producing a show called Moose Meat and Marmalade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's an Indigenous cooking show.
Oh, for cool.
And I cannot remember the name of the chef, but I mean, he's so cool. He's like, you know, some chefs get into all drizzling sauce on a white plate or whatever. He's like cool, like just real food that Indigenous, you know, our Indigenous heritage has to offer. And so I watched one of his little videos. And you can look those up on YouTube, too, like Moose Meat and Marmalade. Just, like, Google that, and then you'll get this. And I watched this one where he was showing people just how to smoke meat, you know, to slice it really thin and how to cook it in, like, you know, one of the cookers that you buy at L&M Fleet or something. It was just,
oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But I, like, what a cool name for a show, Moose Meat and Marmalade.
That is really cool. But Canadian TV has a lot more Indigenous TV on it also.
It does. I mean,
you know, I truly wish I could get North of 60 on DVD. I know that you and Andreas never got to see it. Absolutely fabulous. Did you ever watch that show, Gabby, called North of 60? That was the best show ever.
Well, one of my favorite things about Canadian television, though, was Hockey Night in Canada.
That was when hockey was true hockey.
Yes.
When you had blood on the ice.
if you didn't have a good stick in the mouth, it wasn't a good game.
I know. You know, I went to a BSU hockey game, and I was sorely disappointed.
Yeah, it's getting kind of tame.
Yeah, it was like, what a bunch of wussies. Let's play hockey.
Well, here we are heading into summer.
We are.
Well, actually, the days are getting shorter already. The longest day was a couple days ago, so...
Like, I didn't notice, not yet anyways, a couple seconds here or there.
The fireflies were out early June, and so,
dragonflies.
All the hatches, have you noticed all the hatches of, like, mayflies, dragonflies, damsel? There's a lot of insects this year.
Oh, I know, it's beautiful.
And if you're being eaten, that's not good.
It's not.
But it's a good sign, ecologically, that there are a lot of... And as I come into work in the morning and I open the door, there's these little, tiny, white, like they're the size of a grain of rice. They look like a mayfly.
Really?
But they're just tiny little insects. Hmm. And I actually have never noticed them before. I'm sure they've been around for 4.6 billion years or something, but I haven't noticed them.
Today, when I was getting in the car, I saw a moth that I have never seen before. She was all black, but she had yellow antennas.
Well, if it had antennas, were they feathery antennas?
They were feathery antennas,
okay,
so
well,
it was a
moth. Because that's the difference between a moth and a butterfly.
Yeah, I know
that. A butterfly
that has,
well, I'm telling the listeners, they may not.
The listeners may not, I'm sorry.
A butterfly has smooth antenna, and a moth has feathery antenna.
Yes. Yeah. And she was all black with yellow feathery antennas. And I was like, I stopped and I'm looking at her like, I've never seen you before.
Are you sure she just didn't have feathers applied to her antennas like people do their eyelashes?
I really don't think that she had been to see any salon expert or... Who is that, Walea, that does the eyelashes?
No. Yeah, she's a fashion bug. So yeah, noticing that, but with the fireflies coming out and the deer being their bright red colors and the babies being the fawns out there, it's berry time.
It's berry time.
And so the wild strawberries have already come and gone on most of us.
The raspberries are looking really good this year.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just a reminder to folks though that you can go to the berry picking farms.
You can.
They are open now, starting next week. A lot of them are opening for harvest.
Tara Lee's opened today.
Today?
Today I think it was from 9 to 3 today, in short hours today.
And then the other cool berry farm in the area is Honeyberry USA.
Are they in Bagley also?
They are in Bagley as well. And they don't have strawberries, but they have honeyberries, raspberries, currants. Like three different kinds of currants. I didn't know they came in three different colors, but they taste different. Because I'm not really a fan of the black currant, but they had what was called a pearl currant. That was really good.
Is that kind of a white colored currant?
Well, yeah, it was pearl.
Well, but anyway, it could have been lavender.
It could have been. But Honeyberry USA is kind of cool because if you can't afford berries, you can harvest, however many you want, and then again that much, and so they'll take half your pick, and then you get half for free.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
So they try to really help out the picker that doesn't have pocket change to buy berries. So, check them out on Facebook, Honeyberry USA. It's a good place to go.
And if you are out berry picking, and then you pick too many, which sometimes tends to be the case, if you go to pickyourown.org, they have all the recipes for being to preserve the berries that you have picked.
Yeah.
So you can can, you can make jellies. They show you how to freeze the berries so that you don't have a great big clump of berries. But pickyourown.org is a fantastic site for being able to preserve your bounty this year.
It really is. And then they also have information on there about pick your owns that are close to you.
Yes, they do.
So we just mentioned a couple that are close to the folks in White Earth and Well, actually, they're kind of close to all three reservations, so.
The area of Bemidji State Park is really good for blueberries and raspberries. They have a bunch of bushes, like, to the left of the barbed wire, because those two trails that you can take, and I always go there.
Cool.
For,
yeah.
For blueberries?
Yeah, blueberries and raspberries.
Wow.
And the blueberries are looking good this year. Speaking of blueberries, we have an exciting event coming up that's on your list of things to talk about.
Yeah, the Lake George Blueberry Festival, which is the last weekend in July. So you can go there. They have blueberry pancake feed, blueberry pie eating contest, anything and everything to do with blueberries. And Lake George is known for its blueberries.
Yeah, Lake George is sitting on, perched on the end, actually the toe of the Great Sand Plains. So there's a lot of berries throughout that whole area.
Yeah, and the Jack
Pines. Really known for, they talked about people knowing that it was time, you know, the settlers, the early settlers, they weren't too keen on knowing what to do. So they would watch for the natives to start traveling. I'm guessing that 200 was probably built over some type of trail that was always there as a way to get.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was.
And so they would watch for the natives to start traveling with all their packs. They used to wrap the berry baskets in blankets, and then they just tie them, you know, like over your head or something, carry big bundles. And then when people saw the native folks going to pick, then they knew it was time to go pick. So then they had to go get jump in the game. Then you had competition.
But another, we should have been a little more secretive.
A little subtle. But another route that I'm sure was watched, but I learned that even people from Leech Lake would go harvest way up around Little Fork, the big blueberry fields of Little Fork.
Oh, yeah.
The Lindstrom Road, those areas where we picked as kids, because we grew up in International Falls.
Yeah.
And we would always go there and pick, and I never really thought about folks coming north to pick berries. And I was talking to Guy Green from Sugar Point, and he was like telling me, oh yeah, my family always used to go to Little Fork to pick berries. And I'm like, no way! We went to Little Fork to pick berries. And then I actually found in the Historical Society, I found a photograph from 1935 of little kids picking blueberries in Little Fork, little native kids picking blueberries in Little Fork, Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool.
How old were these kids?
I don't know. They were probably our parents.
I was just going to say, because mom would have been 5.
Yeah, they were little kids.
And they went out blueberry picking all the time. So I wonder if that was my mama.
Kind of cool. And then the other fun blueberry thing we have coming up, which Gabby gets to be part of this year, is the White Earth Extension Office is offering their berry camp again this year. This would be the 4th or 5th year?
Actually, I think it's our 6th.
And that's going to be July 18th and 19th at Little Elbow Lake Campground. A day camp for most people. Some of us are going to camp overnight and hang out there, but it's a great opportunity for kids and families. If you want to come as a family, that's a good thing too. We'll be picking berries, canning berries. We got art projects. What are you going to do?
We have, for art projects, we are going to make an applique wall hanging, so all the pieces will be cut out, and then we'll have the glue, and you can glue your piece. I'll have embroidery thread there so that they can tack it down. For the little kids, because that's kind of, that's a little more advanced, for the little kids, they're going to be making tissue paper, stained glass pieces to be able to hang in their windows. I also will be bringing along needle felting, so if you want to try your hand at making a wall hanging on needle felting, we'll have that. So
Very cool.
Yeah, so there's going to be 3 different art projects going on.
And for the people that are camping at night, later in the evening, we're going to be doing some spoon carving, making some rice knockers, you know, telling some stories, sharing some teachings. I'm sure there's language in there.
Yeah.
There's going to be canoeing. Gabby, that's something that you are kind of taking the lead on, doing canoeing. We're going to do safe canoeing, so Yeah,
it's fishing. You can fish right there on the banks. So bring your fishing rod. And
if you're gonna fish, you gotta clean your fish. So if you don't know how, you're gonna learn how.
Yep. There'll be tables and fillet knives there so that you can.
Yes.
Eat what you catch. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's another good time. July 18th, 19th, Little Elbow Lake Campground. All day long. Everybody's welcome. Come out.
Yep. Starting at about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. If you come earlier than that, it's always
good. You can help
good.
Set up.
You can have a cup of coffee and visit. I mean, that's what's fun. We'll let Becca Dallinger set up. No. Just kidding.
I thought she was like stepping back this year.
That's a she thing. You know the other fun thing I want to check out this summer, and it's coming up fast, is New York Mills Culture Center on July 6th. They're having from 10 to 4, they're having this kind of like a celebration of fishing. Fishing.
Fishing?
So they're going to have a bunch of fish houses there that artists are going to be painting. And for $10... you can buy a ticket and, you know, maybe win a fish house. But the artists are going to be painting them. But then throughout the day, they're going to have art on display, like wildlife prints and decoys. So, like, if you don't know, I love fishing decoys. I can make some, but I just tend to just mostly buy them. And I just like, I like fishing lures, like really old, vintage. I like have lures that are made out of horsehair and stuff like that. Yeah, so I'm really interested to see the decoys on display. And then they have activities for the kids, too. They're going to, like, have art in your park with the youth. And then there's opportunity for youth to paint a decoy. So they must be going to have some decoys ready to go, and then the kids get to paint them. But that is something that you need to register for. So if you're going to do that, the number is 218-385-3339 to register your child to paint. Other than that, you don't have to register to go. But
so is there a fee involved in that?
It didn't sound like. I saw no fee other than buying, if you wanted to buy a ticket, which does support the activities that go on. This is an annual event of the New York Mills Culture Center, which we did an interview with Derek Henderson a while back.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have not been to New York Mills Art Center, you really should check it out. It's a pretty neat place. Yeah. And who would have known, you know?
I just drive by it on 10.
Little New York Mills, there's not much there.
But there's a culture center.
There's a culture center. And a Taekwondo tournament.
There you have it. What other things you got planned for the summer, Sharon? Anything you're going to do?
I have a list of the different fairs. I love fairs.
I do too.
I think they're really great.
They're kind of dying back, though.
They are, and I think that, you know, it's a really fun family event to go to the fair. And a lot of the fairs you can participate in, like Beltrami, it's open to anybody. It doesn't matter what county you live in. You can show your animals in open class. You can do your artwork. You can submit your canned goods, your baked goods. You're quilting.
Well, that's an open county. Not all counties are open, right?
Not all counties are open.
Beltrami's an open county. So
and Clearwater.
And Clearwater is an open county.
I know for definite Clearwater is an open county. Some of the others, I'm not sure. You would have to look on their website and find out.
And so then if you're interested in participating in something like that, then there's a book that they put out, right?
There is. It's a premium book.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you a list of all the different areas that you can enter. Like, say you like knitting, but you knitted a sweater. The sweater goes in a different category than the person that knitted the baby blanket. So you don't have, you know, you don't have as much competition to be able to win that ribbon. And there's always a little dollar amount prize money. So Andreas and I always, last year we didn't enter the Beltrami County Fair. And, you know, we felt really,
empty,
yeah, an empty feeling that we were not part of the fair that year, because that was the first time, Andreas and I have been doing this now for 8 years, that we have been entering something in the fair, and being part of the fair, and going there, and, you know, knowing that other people are looking at what you did they like it, seeing what you did, so yeah, but we've always walked away with a little check. sometimes not so little. That one year it was $75 I made.
But most of the premiums are small, like $4 or $5, right?
Yep, they are. So, you know, but can enter as many things as you want. You usually, you go the day before the fair opens, take all your stuff in there.
So what are some of the dates of our surrounding county fairs?
So, speaking of Little Fork again, Little Fork Fair, which is the Northern Minnesota District Fair.
Oh, okay.
Wondered why Little Fork had their own fair, but they are July 6th through the 8th. Then Hubbard County in Park Rapids is July 11th through the 15th. There's actually a lot of fairs if you want to take in a lot of fairs that following weekend, the 11th through the 15th. Hubbard County in Park Rapids, the Badette, the Polk County Fair in Fertile, and the Cass Pillager Fair in Pillager are all that weekend.
Wow, that's a busy weekend.
I'm actually going to the Polk County Fair because they are going to have duck jumping with your dog, and Valkyrie and I are going to participate.
I think I might rule that too.
So
it sounds like fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. So if you guys want to come out and cheer on Valkyrie in his duck jumping on that weekend, we will be there on the 14th. So,
and I might be riding along with my dog Tesla, so let's get some support out there. Come see us and come check out the fair.
Yeah, and check out duck dog jumping, because it's really kind of fun. We also have then the 15th through the 20th is the Roseau County Fair. The 19th through the 22nd is West Ottertail in Fergus Falls. And the end of July, the 31st through the 4th of August, is Crow Wing over in Brainerd. I was kind of thinking that might be kind of fun to go and check out Brainerd. Brainerd is a big area, residential, then farm, actually.
Well, actually, that Crow Wing area is getting a lot of little organic-type farms where people are doing grass-fed cattle. They're doing some, like, sustainable stuff over there, so it could be kind of an interesting fair to go check out.
Yeah, so
I might check out that just to see what kind of ag they got going on.
That's what I was thinking, just heading over there, you know. And then in August, we have the Clearwater in Bagley is the 1st through the 5th. The 8th through the 12th is our Beltrami Fair. And the 15th through the 19th is Itasca in Grand Rapids.
So there you have it. Check out a fair.
There are more fairs if you go on to what I typed in was Minnesota Fairs. And I got a great big huge listing of all of them throughout the whole state of Minnesota. So
you know what I'd like to see is, like, I've been watching the Beltrami County Fair kind of go downhill for, not downhill, but I mean the number of participants has gone downhill.
Yes.
For some time, quality of, you know, the art or the agriculture or thing, that's staying the same. But what I'd like to see is, like, we were talking about Bemidji. So, you know, like, Sanford is, like, taking over Bemidji. It's kind of like an out-of-control organism that seems to be taking over everything. And then there's these big things like the center, you know, the place, what do they call that?
The Sanford Center. It's the Sanford Center.
It's like
Center.
An entertainment center. So there's this new age kind of like stuff, but there's this revitalization of community in Bemidji that's happening. And, you know, there's the Northwest Indian Community Development Center that's part of that movement to be sustainable, to be self-sufficient.
Yep.
To you know, do things cool. And then there's the Watermark Art Center with the McKenna Gallery for the Indigenous Arts. And we were talking about how funny it is because you have Sanford Center where they were hoping to make tons of money off of everybody paying, you know, $60 a seat to watch some fancy and, like, well-known person. When everybody's gathering down at the waterfront under the tent listening to local musicians.
For free.
And it's kind of like they're trying to sell us something that we don't want. And the community's talking back by, you know, doing a lot more really cool, just community-based art and entertainment.
Yep.
And so I think there's something afoot in what's happening and coming back around to the fairs. Like I was talking about the sustainable agriculture. Maybe, You know, I've not been on a fair board. They have boards with, you know, you could have a seat on the board and a say in what happens in that fair. But maybe there's something underfoot to change a category. Yep. So, you know, like the best looking grass fed milk cow or something. You know?
Like, or the best tasting milk.
Yeah.
Because, something... you know, there's now, I don't know, all the stores are carrying it. But like Super One and Walker now carries your organic,
right?
Non-GMO fed, non-antibiotic.
Well, it actually says grass-fed on there.
Some of them didn't,
and it really did taste different. So yeah, there could be some changes coming. The other thing I was talking about recently is there is enough of these farms coming up, like Crow Wing area that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
There's a number of a very small. Grass-fed beef cattle farmers, but they can't make any money off their cattle if they try to put them on one of those horrific trucks that take them down and slaughter them by the thousands per day. So what they're kind of hoping to do, and you know, these are opportunities for entrepreneurial thinking, to what they need is a small scale slaughterhouse, you know, something that would do, you know, somebody that would do, you know, take care of 4 or 5 cows. But there's not many people that are going to invest in a business that will just do 4 or 5 cows. They want to do thousands a day.
I would, depending on the amount of money that you had to put into it, I would be willing to invest in something like that if
somebody else wants to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
because
gonna,
you.
I would not kill. I have rabbits.
Do raise rabbits for people to eat, and she said you have to. You have it to was take care of the rabbit yourself, so it was a kill your own rabbit.
Oh yes, God. And I would still like to do that. I feel that I can give the rabbit a quality life while it's here. You know, it would have big pens to be able to run around in. It would have grass and alfalfa and stuff to eat. Always fresh water. It would never be scared.
Right.
You know, and when an animal is scared, I think that goes into our meat. And then we ingest that and... I think it does something to us.
That's a healthier, like, that is a big piece of it. Is that's the one of the things about pork, is like pork is raised in now in a situation where the animal can't move.
Yep.
And so it's not a healthy meat. Whereas I know a guy that's raising pigs, and he has a certain kind of pig, I can't remember what it's called. But they get to run around and root and eat roots, and they're a muscly pig. So the pig that's just, I mean, obviously a pig that's just not moving and being fed is going to be fat. But this little pig is kind of buff, you know, he's got some, and the meat tastes different.
It does.
And so a rabbit that was able to move and eat healthy is going to taste different than a rabbit that just sits in a hutch and can never move and just gets fed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, eventually, you know, someday down the road, I do hope to have my kill-your-own rabbit.
So, we got off topic a bit about healthy eating, entrepreneurial thoughts, but that's what happens when you have conversations.
Yeah. Especially Shirley and I.
You can get all over that. That's our ADD, everything we're interested in. We can go from dogs to healthy food to berry picking and 0 to 60.
Getting back to some of the different things that are going on in the area, over in Gull Lake on August 25th from 9 to 2, they're having a classic boat show. So I was like, what's a classic boat show? I looked it up and they're all wooden. All wooden vintage and classic boats are going to be there in their little marina on Gull Lake, which sounds really cool.
That's kind of cool. You know, like Andreas and I were driving through Pequot Lakes a few years back, and they were having a vintage snowmobile show.
Oh, cool!
And we stopped, and you know, like, I don't know, there was only like 50 snowmobiles there or whatever, but you know, back in the day when the snowmobiles started out, the motor was in the back and it would bog down. And we all know, if you listen to our previous show with Andy Wells,
I was just gonna say, was there an Andy?
That he invented the snowmobile with the motor in the front.
Yep.
Which changed how snowmobiles operated a lot. So there's all these vintage snowmobiles. So checking out something like that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, so that's on August 25th, like you said, from 9 to 2. And then August 4th through the 5th, I'm not giving these to you in any kind of order, am I? We have antique tractors over in Park Rapids.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah, which sounded kind of cool. I'm kind of partial to the Farmall tractor. And I thought you liked the John Deere.
The Minneapolis Moline, I thought, was a good-looking tractor. Primarily because it's orange. It has nothing to do with anything other than the color.
We were driving, I think it was when we went to go get chickens in Randall, and I saw an electric blue tractor out in the field.
That tends to be Ford or a repaint of something.
And it was
For some reason, Ford was blue at some point in time.
Yeah, it was really a cool-looking tractor. I was like, so we have that going on in Park Rapids.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I had some powwow dates. A Pine Point, which is my favorite powwow.
I love the Pine Point
of powwow. The year is August 11th and 12th.
Okay.
So you got to put that on your calendar. But another one that I haven't gone to for a while, but I used to go to it all the time, was Miigwech Menomon, the ball club powwow. This year it's their 55th annual.
Oh, yeah.
Powwow, and that's July 20th and 22nd. I was really surprised that, you know, like, White Earth just celebrated their 148th, I think. Maybe it was
149th, I think.
149, it was. Like that.
Yeah.
It's a long time. But Onigam, I saw their powwow was the 18th annual, and I remember being at the first one. Like, and it was, like, I don't know, 10 dancers or something. It was just, no, it wasn't that small, but it was really small. That one's like on July 27th and 29th. So, and then the Cha-Cha Bonding is August 24th through 26th. And the Battle Point powwow is September 14th and through the 16th. So that's the last powwow over here on Leech Lake is the Battle Point one. That's the end of the season, kind of. Sometimes it's really cold, too, right there. So
what date was that?
September 14th through the 16th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we got powwows, we have fairs, we have festivals. There's always something good going on, something healthy. I know some people are scared to try something new. And it always takes me back to a lady that ended up is a good friend of mine now. But we've only been friends for 3 years. And we were having a bunch of events like every weekend. And we were doing carting fish decoys. And this woman came in, and I didn't know her, and, you know, she come up, and she started carving, and we started talking throughout the day, and then we ate, and we laughed, and she was having a good time, and then she shared with me afterwards, she said that she was recovering from a lot of things in her life that weren't good, and so she was looking for something to do, and she was scared to come to that event. She said, I was so scared. She said, when I opened the door and I didn't know anybody, I wanted to slam that door shut and leave.
I know exactly how she feels. People think, oh my God, you're so outgoing. They don't know the battle that I battle everything that I do.
You get scared every time?
Every time I have been, I'm scared.
Some people are, I don't have that anymore. I think I did. And I relate to it a bit, but I always think about that, you know. And then I remember something, I don't know if any of our listeners remember Eli Hunt. He was an inspiration to me in a number of ways. And I remember it had to do with work, and I was scared. And he was there as the chairman, and I was, you know, a worker. And I was really, really scared. And I decided I was going to tell him that. We had to have a conversation and a conference call. And I said, you know what? I'm really scared right now. And he said, always do what you're afraid to do. And so, you know, I took that message to heart, man. I like, every time I was afraid, I would like, always do what you're afraid to do. And so, luckily, I had this conversation with him before he passed. And, you know, I said, that really meant a lot to me. And he just looked at me for a long time, kind of blinking. And he kind of laughed and he said, I don't know if I should tell you or not, he said, but when you told me that, I didn't know what to say to you. He said, and I looked at this plaque behind your head, hanging on the wall, and that's what it said. So I said it to you.
If you would have turned around, you wouldn't have had to have the conversation.
It wouldn't have meant anything to me if I had turned around and read it. It was that he said it to me. And so it's always kind of funny now. I was like, you weren't even inspirational. Cheated me. So Yeah, if you have those feelings, you never did something before and you're afraid to do it, maybe push the limits and step out there, because you never know. Because that lady and I are friends now. I'm not going to say her name because, you know, it's kind of put her out there like that. But we're friends now, and she'll pop up on Facebook and say, hey, is there anything going on? So she actually got that courage to do something. Check out Northwest Indian Community Development Center.
Oh, that's a
lot
of fun.
They always have things going on there. Tuesday nights, I think they're still doing cultural reclamation.
Yep.
Last night, they were weaving, finger weaving. And it's free. There was no charge to these things. There's an exhibit there right now, the Bring Her Home exhibit.
That's
powerful.
Very powerful. You have to stop in there. If that's all you do is stop in there and see that.
Well, if you're over from the White Earth area, that exhibit is going to be coming your way.
It will be.
In August, I believe. So check with Joe Allen over there at Gajigan. The new Gajigan, it's going to be there. And I believe that it's such a powerful exhibit that I think Lisa Bruner is going to be doing a cedar ceremony when they open that up, because I can understand after seeing it why that might be necessary, or is necessary, I should say, to do, because it's very powerful. It's also coming up on a year of the what happened to Savannah Greyhawk, so that's going to be something that's happening in your area. And, you know, murdered and missing women, men, indigenous people, that's a subject that's really tough and sobering. I don't know that I want to have that right now. I'm not ready to go there, but
I mean, think that's a topic for another radio
show.
It is,
and it's that exhibit is at Northwest Indian Community Development Center right now, and it's coming your way over in White Earth. So
we have language table also at Northwest Indian Community Center on Thursday evenings.
From 5 to 7. Immersion language.
It's immersion. There is some English. Once, you know, Nobbik gets you totally confused and everything like that, he will stop and we will discuss it in English. I have these times where I think I got it and then he says something else and I'm going, what just happened? I have no idea what's going on now. And then it comes back around that, okay, I think I got it again.
And there is someone driving all the way from White Earth to come over every Thursday night. So, I mean, that if you get a couple people together in a car, that would...
Yep.
You could do that.
The more the merrier.
So, yeah, that's what's going on this summer. Some fun things, some thoughts for you. We hope that you have a beautiful summer, a safe summer, a happy summer. And wish you well. And we'll have some new shows for you coming up in a month or so.
Yeah. Got some really cool people. And like I said, if you have any suggestions, any ideas, we're on Facebook. Just pop on and say hey.
Miigwech, Bizen Dawayeg. This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.